12 p.m. from 80 Broadway, downtown Norwich at the Pie Hop Studio. News Rocky. Hey, guys, I just got out of rehab, political rehab, taking on fake news. And we know there's plenty of that out there. So tune in each and every day. Get your full complement of all the fake news. We'll drill down on it harder than a pile driver on the WWE wrestling. Hey, guys, this is Kevin here at the Pie Hop Studio. And, yes, we're coming to you at 4 p.m. today. We're trying something a little different. And, actually, I'm really excited. I think we're going to definitely connect with many more News Rocky team members out there. Watching this show live again, coming to you Monday through Friday right here in downtown Norwich at 80 Broadway. Today is really a day. We're going to get right into it, guys. You know, it's a day of remembrance. In my opinion, 8 years ago, actually, today, right here in Connecticut, we saw one of the biggest tragedies to ever face this nation in comparison to 9/11 and such. But this was a target of 20 young children and 6 educators, and I'm referring to the Sandy Hook shooting 8 years ago today right here in Connecticut. And then, you know, when you look at the situation after Sandy Hook, the debates of gun control, the measures that were taken with regards to the failed mental health services in the state of Connecticut in this case, and you look at the outcome of that situation, it makes you really you pause for a moment and say, this was needlessly, this is not supposed to happen. I can tell you some, just as a side note to this, certainly remembrance of the shooting and these victims, that many of the Connecticut State Troopers that I know personally, I shot actually in a couple exercises with some folks that actually were serving in the Connecticut State Police then. And they actually responded to this incident that took place in Sandy Hook 8 years ago. And, you know, today is a day that I remember what those troopers told me about the scene and the most horrific memories that these individuals will have to live with. And, you know, this is not a partisan fake news story. This is a real commentary here that we wanted to share in the opening. Let's remember each and every one of those souls that were lost. And certainly let's remember the victims, the family, the people who are still left behind, still feeling this tragedy. These were little babies and moms and, you know, just good educators and people, little babies that were hurt. That's what we have to think about, the little children, and it's a sad day. So remember Sandy Hook today, and it's unfortunate, 8 years ago today on December 14th, 2012, that incident took place right here in Sandy Hook. So thank you again for tuning in to News Rocky, and we're going to get on to what News Rocky does. Definitely wanted to give a shout out to Sandy Hook in the beginning, not a shout out, but a remembrance rather of knowing that today. I've been thinking about it all day. I hope you do as well. We're going to get on to the fake news and attacking the news of the day. And certainly, I think, you know, today is the day. Today is December 14th, and there's been a lot of back and forth and the pushback actually from both parties, the Republican Party and Democratic Party, has you wondering what's going on in Washington, D.C. And, you know, there's recently an article here with the House Democrats call to exclude 126 from next Congress for supporting Texas lawsuit. So what the story is, Bill Pasquale, New Jersey Democrat, on Friday urged House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to refuse to seat any of the 126 Republican House members who signed the brief supporting lawsuit aimed at overturning the results of the presidential election. You know, this story is an interesting one. If you think about it, it really speaks to why this country's divided. I mean, these Republicans who have chosen to support what they believe is legally their responsibility or their right to not agree with the outcome of the election is now actually going to possibly cost them for being sat in the upcoming Congress. It's kind of funny when you think about Pasquale's cite Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which states that anyone who engaged in insurrection of rebellion cannot serve in the federal office, claiming the lawsuit seeks to be that public confidence in your democratic system, and that those who signed it committed unbecoming acts that reflect poorly on chamber. This is a really interesting move here. If this actually takes place, folks, I think you better all buckle in and get ready for the showdown, because it's going to come. This is a move that, if even really actually exposes itself, it's going to be quite interesting to see exactly how this will play out. You know, obviously you have some of the main players in Congress that are supporting this on the Democratic side. One of the members of Congress who expressed support for this actual position and demands Rep. Ilhan Omar of Minnesota, a member of the Progressive Squad, mostly noted for her public outcry and really defiant stance against the America we all love. Her America is not our America, in her own words. This Congresswoman, Ilhan Omar, strongly supports this. No wonder that she would. You know, the fake part about this gamemanship here is quite interesting, because they know that the fact of the matter is, today is December 14th, and we all know that the process of the election has moved to the next level. President-elect Joe Biden will be sworn into office. There are, who knows, right? Tomorrow could bring a whole new filing of a lawsuit somewhere in the process. But today we are moving forward. And Congress knows that, but they're taking an opportunity to make a statement. And this is why I would say that that is probably some fake and disingenuous news coming right out of the mouths of who? Washington insiders. We're going to move right on to a big mouth that I love to talk about on this show. One of my favorite topics to talk about are my good friends, the Cuomo brothers. And they're really not my friends, but I'm referring to the actual current governor of New York, Governor Cuomo, recently actually being considered for a federal appointment under the Biden administration, has some new hot water of his own. You know, this is an interesting story, guys. This is about the governor who has been a consistent critic of the President of the United States, the 45th, Donald Trump. But he himself now finds himself, former development aide, accuses Cuomo of sexual harassment. Now, this is not a new report, but it's quite interesting that how it's being played back and forth, and quite frankly, how it's not been in the corporate media news. I'm wondering why. I'm pretty sure why. We all know CNN won't be playing anything, talking anything, or making any claims about this story. So, a former aide of the New York governor, Andrew Cuomo, who is now running for Manhattan borough president, accused the sexual harassment charges in a tweet on Sunday. And this is what Lindsay Boland said. "Yes, at New York, Governor Cuomo sexual harassed me for years. Many saw it and watched. I could never anticipate what to expect. Would I be grilled on my work, which was very good, or harassed about my looks, or would it be both in the same conversation?" So we have this claim, and actually has been a claim for a bit, but now resurfacing claim against Governor Cuomo, Lindsay Boland, this aide, an actual staff member under the Cuomo administration, now herself running for an office in a borough presidency, one of her own, is regaining some real energy here with this claim resurfacing with this tweet over the weekend. Kind of interesting timing, and quite honestly, I think if you read on in the article, most are suspecting that the timing of this tweet by the proposed victim, Lindsay Boland, is possibly about the deterring the president-elect Joe Biden in trying to welcome Governor Cuomo into his administration. We'll have to see how this one plays out, but you know, Boland is a 36-year-old who worked under Cuomo's administration from March 2015 to October 2018, serving as an executive vice president in the Empire State Development. And she was a specialist in this area. Actually, these harassment allegations against Cuomo come after the Associated Press others report that the 63-year-old governor is under consideration for a job of attorney general in the administration of the president-elect Joe Biden. So, you know, I think this is interesting, and we're just going to go down on this a little bit and just really kind of see if you kind of can feel what I'm thinking here. You know, here we go with a guy, Governor Cuomo, who has consistently been the most agitating individual. And by the way, the national corporate press, the corporate media have given him a platform, especially CNN, right? Of course, his brother, Brother Cuomo over there, always giving him some positive high fives on the great job he's doing. He's winning awards for being recognized the best governor with COVID, even though his numbers in fatalities, especially with those facilities where elderly folks and recovering and treatment folks, those places are the highest in the country. Yet Governor Cuomo is now charged sex, charge against him, is sitting and now having to defend himself against the allegations, the very allegations he throws at Donald Trump each and every day. It's going to be interesting to watch how Cuomo squirms out of this one. I think it's nights out. It's done. There's no way you're going to survive this, because I think this individual is very credible and very passive. I've seen a couple of reports for her actually speaking, and I'm pretty confident she's going to take this guy out and probably be the knockout punch that Cuomo needs. Certainly will stop him from progressing over to the president-elect's administration. Trump's election attack ends today. So, you know, some say that, but some say it's not over till the, you know, sings. Fat lady sings, they say. But Trump's now election attack, December 14th, is a day that's been looming here for a while. We know that this was coming, and we obviously anticipated that Donald Trump was going to have those on one side of this conversation, on the right side of the conversation, have been anticipating some sort of a Doug Flutie-type moment where the ball gets thrown to the end zone and one of the Republican GOP members, maybe in Congress, Senate, or whatever, would be there to take that win and victory right through and get President Donald Trump a second term. Not happening in this election. Up to this point, the entire process has been a delay move, as quoted. This is from a report saying that in a tweet that the whole process is determined who the next president of the United States will be. And Biden obviously stands collected today, all the electoral colleges appropriately needed. This means that Joe Biden, president-elect, moves forward, and his inauguration obviously getting planned, certainly going to be an interesting one. Some of the folks out there talking about the information today, a lot of energy, a lot of people calling it fake news, the call out of this corrupt election from one side, certainly the pushback from the Democratic folks involved in this election. 80 million more votes than actually Barack Obama. That's what is being told to the American people to believe. In this situation, Donald Trump has exhausted almost every effort. There might be a few secrets, under the sleeves here for Donald Trump's campaign team, but I really highly doubt there's going to be anything that's going to change this. And so, as I said on the air before in a few shows, it is now the 2024 election, and the campaign and all the fun starts right now. Guaranteed that Donald Trump will be flying around this country campaigning for the 2024 election, and we're certainly going to watch each and every one of those moves going along the way. Let's see. We're going to keep on moving here. We're moving kind of fast, but staying with us, which I appreciate it, and we're not even into too much of this here. Let's see. Twitter briefly restricts. We'll get into this one for a bit. Twitter briefly restricts Donald Trump's tweets about the election over the weekend. So this is an interesting one. Twitter briefly tightened restriction on the U.S. premise of Donald Trump's official Twitter account on Saturday, as some users reported the inability to like, retweet, or reply to his tweets. For such tweets, users could neither copy the URL nor search for the text or tweet a yield result. A Twitter spokesman wrote in The Verge on Saturday, informing the platform inadvertently took action to limit engagements on Trump's tweets, but had since reversed the action. Inadvertent reverse. Now, I just want to tell you a little bit about fake news. So there's nothing that is more fake than the fact that Twitter knows just by making that one little tweet in the process would draw national attention. It'd get Donald Trump himself to talk about it. It would be something for Twitter to see their increased views and their name. You know, they're probably being Googled, or actually, I think Google's down today, but they're probably being searched many, many times over. So I think that purposeful move by Twitter is obvious and for a reason. And who benefits from it more than someone like a Donald Trump, who actually now probably has more people looking at every one of his tweets that they couldn't see over the weekend, plus his most recent. You know, one of the recent tweets that we'll kind of delve into is this from Donald Trump on December 12th. I won the election in a landslide. But remember, you think the terms of legal votes, not all of the fake voters and fraud that miraculously floated in from everywhere, what a disgrace. That was one tweet. I mean, we can go on, and some of the best tweets that Donald Trump really kind of throws out there is just that emotional reaction tweet, right? And so what do you guys think about Twitter? What do you think about how Twitter and its relationship with Donald Trump has become this unbelievable platform? I mean, you think about Twitter maybe 4, 5, 6 years ago, and I did use it a little bit when I was in office serving here in the state of Connecticut as a state representative and a municipal leader. But I think Twitter has now hit a whole new level, right? I mean, this is the official platform for Donald Trump. I guess it's unofficial, but it's the official. We all know if you want to hear what the president, the 45th president, is thinking, you can simply scroll right down over to Twitter, go check on the recent releases from Donald Trump, and you're certainly going to find out what he's feeling like at each moment of the day. You know, that's probably one of the things I would criticize, and I know I got a lot of friends out there. And please say hi, post something in there if you're watching the show today, the News Rocky Show coming to you live from the High Hop Studio in downtown Norwich at 80 Broadway, right across from the Town Hall. We are now actually in this beautiful studio coming to you at 4 p.m. To 5 p.m. doing the hour drive here, trying to try something. You know, hey, we said, hey, let's try this, let's try that. We're trying to make it work for you, the viewers and the team members. I call you the Rocky, Rocky team members out there. We appreciate it if you stay and focus with us. So if you're out there listening, put a message up there, ask me a question, engage with us. That's what this News Rocky Show is about. Staying on task with the Twitter, you know, what do you guys think? Do you think Donald Trump's Twitter habits maybe have affected his ability to get reelected? Do you think the amount of maybe arguments and issues, we got to actually look that up at some point. We got to see a controversy that's actually been created through Twitter. And there's been a lot of fake news too. You know, the fake news combination with Twitter has been really interesting, because when you think about the concept of fake news and you think about the concept of these platforms, Twitter itself, you're only allowed so many characters. I think it's, is it 100 maybe or something like that? And you're only allowed to say it. And Donald Trump has this, certainly he's a crafty guy when it comes to his tweeting on Twitter about whatever subject it is, and throwing a bomb this way or throwing a bomb. You know what? Honestly, Donald Trump's not only doing this himself. He inspired all the politicians in the country. I feel like, you know, all the king's men. Everyone is now on this kind of platform. Anyone who's relevant or running for office or in office, they use the same platform. I think you look at AOC, all the main players. Chris Murphy, actually, in the state of, you know, his friend Dick. Blumenthal, the two senators, Dick doesn't do a lot of tweeting. Dick really stays, I think, more to the normal press release, because Dick's been in office for, Dick's been in office for a while, you know. But Chris Murphy is really a major Twitter, and one of the guys that loves to throw the arguments always at Donald Trump. And so, you know, you think about the exactly what this actual article means. What I'm trying to tell you is Twitter 100% shut him down, shut the president down for a little bit of time just to gain more energy, right? So imagine, this is what these platforms are doing. And, you know, when they were just dragged, all of these platforms, Facebook, Pinterest, I think all of them were dragged through the congressional hearings recently. It's kind of interesting of the arrogance of these platforms. You know, it's either you're going to allow the system to be open and free and not, you know, sort of politically motivated, but unfortunately, all these platforms have seemed to grow to actually more of a, and Facebook included, and definitely more of a platform for one side of the argument. What do you guys think about that? Do you think possibly social media is in partnership with, say, maybe the actual normal media, and they're all working in cahoots together with the Washington insiders, who seem to be really the same people who, as we opened up with, threatening the Republican Congress who congressmen and women who actually supported this lawsuit, they're already threatening to allow them to be set. This is the nation we're in, guys. This is the country we sit in. When Twitter actually makes this adjustment, now we have allowed us to be censored. And censorship, my friend, is the next level of, if you think you want to say Russian collusion, you might as well start speaking Chinese, because you're allowing it each and every time you put somebody in office who's going to make these kind of mistakes for the people of America. They're actually not mistakes. They're actually purposeful, right? But let's face it, this is how it all works. And again, Twitter, right? How many times do you see everyone on one side of Twitter blasting? They don't get banned. They don't get shut down. The only one they mess with constantly is this president. And you don't have to like what he says or appreciate what he does. But why do you think Twitter's pulling that shit with him? You want to know why? Because it draws attention. If you don't have an agitator, you don't have a show. And this is what this national media has been loving about Donald Trump behind the scenes. He's been a ratings celebrity for these people, and they appreciate that. Believe me, behind the show. Now, what are they going to do? What's next for the national corporate media and the social media platform? Who's going to be the next agitator? Who's going to be the next bad guy? Who's going to come in and actually fill that role of what Donald Trump's been doing for this country? You know, throw out a tweet, get your butt kicked. Throw out a tweet, get denounced. Throw out a tweet, get called racist. Throw out a tweet, be called this, because in that context of that tweet, that agitates these individuals who feel like, you know what, I've got something to say, and Donald Trump, he's a bad guy, so we're gonna get him. He's a racist. You know what, how many times did we hear during this administration that Donald Trump was a racist? More times than it's ever been said, which is one more than that is unfair, because this president is the most unracist president I think I've witnessed in a very long time. And many of you will disagree with me, but that's my opinion. You know what? When I get off the show today, I'm going to tweet that I think that he is probably the worst, one of the best when it comes to his dealings with the communities, especially those that have been challenged during this past COVID time, where you see all these inner cities, Democratic-controlled cities, that have been struggling with all the racial imbalance issues, all the financial worries of big cities. But yet they've been promised each and every year by the same elected officials. They keep promising they're going to fix it, and they do nothing but fail each and every time. That's probably the problem in this country when you look at it, guys. It's the false narrative. It's the narrative of the folks that have been in control, will continue to be in control, because the sheep keep putting them there. But I don't think the sheep actually voted 80 million more votes than Barack Obama got. I don't know. Do you guys have a problem with that? To me, I think like it's probably a major overreach here. It's certainly not done. So we got some messages up there. Rob saying, let's see, things are far from over. Executive orders on imposing certain sanctions in the event of foreign interference. 12/18 will become well known soon. So Rob, I think what you're saying out there, if anyone can hear me, we're talking about, he's commenting on what I just said about December 14th being this election is now certified and it moves forward. Rob is assuming that this will possibly have some issue from a interference. This is a very interesting statement. I have heard this. I have not, executive orders are something that most presidents should not take lightly. Any governor or president or anyone in that position for that matter. So Rob, I'm kind of interested. He holds the most powerful position in the world. There is power in his words. You already agreed he tweets nonsense. He tweets lies, fake news. That's from Patrick Richardson, who's writing into us saying that the president tweets. Now, I don't think I said any of that, Patrick, but I think what I did say was that the president tweets, and he tweets his thoughts. I think he tweets a lot of things about different topics throughout the day. I actually said that he is not a racist. I actually said he was misquoted. And I actually can tell you that if you take the time, like the rest of the folks out there who might be in opposition to what I believe is really a great president, take the time to actually read each and every one of the words that he uses, or actually listen to what he says, you'd also have a different opinion. Don't fall for the sound bites. Get thorough, get it done. So right now we're going to skip over to, you know, one of the things I'm thinking about is Joe Biden. We talked a little bit about him. He's the president-elect. I don't believe he's racist. Thank you, Pat. Appreciate that. You know what? We're going to do this all night. So keep chiming in if you'd like. I'd love to hear from you. Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden. Have you guys heard of Hunter Biden? I think you have. You know why you heard of Hunter Biden? Interestingly enough, during this election, actually prior to this election, Hunter Biden came up his possible corruption connection to the Ukraine. We also have heard about corruption and things that he's done over in China. But most recently, we now know that after an entire election cycle where the debates took place, the interviews took place. By the way, I think Joe Biden had his all-time world record of any presidential. I mean, we could probably go back to Washington. George Washington did more live media interviews than Biden did during this election, and he certainly hid in his basement under what we all know is what the Biden's rule is. If you're not out in public, you don't have to talk about it. You don't have to say anything. And the few times that he was confronted, this is Joe Biden, your president-elect, about his son, Hunter Biden, in the response to possible collusion, possible corruption, and possibly very, very high crimes being violated, his reaction was, not my son. My son didn't do anything. I don't know about anything like that. And now today, the actual, which is interesting to me, the national corporate media is actually covering this topic. So you can see a little bit about this everywhere. Hunter Biden emails show $400,000 unreported income from the states and needed for tax returns. So his tax returns now from this connection over in the European nation, was being affiliated to the Ukraine claims early on in the election. The fact of the matter is, back in 2014, according to an attorney for his firm, who noted that his tax returns needed to be amended, a new email obtained by Fox News recently shows. The memo dated January 16, 2017, one of multiple new emails obtained, and details will be following. This is an interesting case, guys. What I'm trying to really get into here, you want to know where the fake is here? You want to know where the fake is in this article? The entire corporate media who protected the president-elect Joe Biden during this election, the entire corrupt social media platform ownership, the entire corrupt Democratic National Committee, who's already proven they eat their own, what they did to Bernie Sanders in 2016, and quite frankly, again, this year. You know what? The politically correct, one-sided politicians, you know what they've done? They've coveted and protected Joe Biden during this process, right? No, we couldn't talk about that. Nowhere on the national front could you read an article about Hunter Biden. You know why? They were calling it fake. They were calling it fake news. Who's fake now? The corporate media. You are the fakest part of fake news that we deal with in this in this entire country. You partner with government. You partner with the folks that are on one side of the argument. And you consistently walk away from each and every one of these accusations that get brought to you. And you know what you say? No. You're very good about that. You just say, no, wasn't us. Didn't have enough proof. No, we did. It was not. The integrity wasn't met. Love that one, right? The integrity wasn't met. So we couldn't go forward with that. You know, so you look at this now what's going to happen with Hunter Biden? Well, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen with Hunter Biden. He's going to pay a fee. He's going to pay a fine. He's going to get charged. This is probably going to be similar to Bill Clinton's brother. I believe it was Bill Clinton's brother, or was it Hillary's brother? One of those two were in one of the very similar situations. Jimmy Carter, I think, had a brother as well. Look, we all have family. We all have friends. We all have whatever. People make mistakes. I don't care about that. It's not the mistake we're talking about. It's the lies. It's the fake news. It's the objective position that these individuals in corporate media and the government and you out there, if you're a Democrat and you supported Joe Biden and this is okay with you because they told you it wasn't an issue, or maybe it's the simple fact that you chose the lesser of two evils. I hear that from you liberal Democrats each and every time you talk about it. And you know what? I understand why you choose that, because I've seen Democrats that are actually sometimes better than Republicans. And I certainly vote Joe Courtney. I voted for Joe Courtney several times. You know why? He was the better choice. You know why? Because he was the better candidate. because he respected him and responded to his people. So there you go. That happens, guys. Republicans sometimes go across the aisle and vote. But why during this election was Joe Biden's son, Hunter, such a pivotal part of the conversation, the debate? Each and every time that we saw a debate take place, you know, or some buildup to those debates, this guy totally ran away from it. He got away with not having to say anything in regards to this case. And now we see its front page. You know, I suspect that this news is coming out now for a reason. Quite frankly, I think it's for a reason that possibly could lead into a obviously removal of President-elect Joe Biden before he's even in office. He'll get sworn in. But I'm saying within the first 6 months that I will see, I would suggest that, and I would challenge you, you should put a little pool together, when will Joe Biden leave office? He will leave office under this scrutiny. And by the way, why is this pertinent? Why do I bring it up with regards to the case of Hunter Biden? Because, what did I say a little earlier? Donald Trump now is going to go off into the sunset of campaign mode. He'll get his news coverage. He'll get his jabs. There'll be accusations against him. I'm sure there'll even be investigations opened about the Trump administration. They'll go after his son's son's sons just so they can try to find and get some blood because they're so thirsty to destroy anything that does with Donald Trump. But you know what's going to happen is Hunter Biden, he's going to take daddy down. And you know what they need? They need a new guy to focus on. This is the corporate media's move. They're going to start focusing on Joe Biden before he's even elected, before he's even in office, sworn in. They're already getting ready to take him down because why would they fight back in June, right? Why would they push back in August? Why would they say, you know, I think it was two or three questions were asked during the debates, two or three questions to this issue. And you know what? Every time you've seen a debate or you saw someone commenting, the funny part about the conversation is simple. The entire energy from one side would attack Donald Trump and his family for all those issues. So you know what? Ask yourself, if you don't think that's fake, then you're fake. And that's what I have to say on that. So moving on from that portion of the news to, I wanted to, you know, I know I'm kind of freeballing here. Do you guys know anything about the Proud Boys? Does anybody out there know anything? If you guys have any information and you're watching the News Rocky Show, throw in some thoughts. I mean, I'm interested in the Proud Boys and kind of finding out, you know, where's this whole thing is. I heard about it obviously during the election and during the debate when supposedly then President Trump made comments to the Proud Boys supposedly and how it's listed. And this is straight out of the Wikipedia, so it's got to be true. This is nothing going to be false here. The Proud Boys is a far-right, neo-fascist, and male-only political organization that promotes and engages in political violence. I find this to be amazingly intriguing. I find it to be amazingly telling. The Proud Boys, who have obviously done some things that have been, they've been noted, there's some history here of what's going on, but they're making accusations about a group that is basically brand new. Secondly, has really limited exposure to arrests and riots. It's actually most of the Proud Boys organized events they go to seem to be centered around defending or stopping and preventing, right? Did you guys watch what happened this weekend in Washington, D.C. and the rallies that took place there? Did you have a chance to see what happened with some of the people? The Proud Boys, yes, Rob, you're tuning in here. Proud Boys are male only. Who could have imagined, right? Proud Boys, you get it. I get it too. But the point to this conversation with the Proud Boys is, you know, there's a lot of focus now. But, you know, we had a couple things. I don't know if you guys remember this past summer. This is, again, where I find fake corporate media attacking for purposes, right? This is a purposeful attack from fake media. They've been driving the Proud Boys name down. They've been trying to push back. It's a racist group. There's all kinds of racial, balance representatives in this group. And I don't want anyone to misunderstand. I'm not defending Proud Boys. I'm not sitting here and saying they're the greatest thing. I don't really know a lot about them, but I do know this, that if the national corporate media had the same energy about pushback of the events that took place over the summer from Black Lives Matters you know, and I don't say the Black Lives Matters movement is the corruption. It's the bad actors in groups, and it could be in any group. Proud Boys could have bad people. Black Lives Matters could. But Antifa, recognized as Antifa members in these cities, destroying people's personal property, hurting people. People were killed because of Antifa. But you know what the national corporate media did? They just sat back and they played mom. They really lightly tiptoed the tulips because they're more concerned about political party affiliation. But yet you see something like what took place this past weekend, where obviously we saw a gathering of peaceful protest in support of the what is called a corrupt election. These folks were getting there, their right to do so, just like the right of Black Lives Matters had to go and march on a peaceful protest. By the way, I don't think any group, any organization has the right to be violent. I don't think any group or any organization has the right to stop or impede the normal function of society. Don't cross the pathway of highways. Don't stop traffic. Don't drag people out of vehicles. Don't do it. But guys, we saw all that, right? We know it happened over the summer. And the national corporate media continues to be mum just because it's politically motivated. Guys, we got to stop letting this national corporate media just drive this narrative down our throats. And by the way, you know, I think the Proud Boys are interracial. Chairman is white or black. Okay, he might be black or Hispanic. I hear that, Rob. I think that is fact. This is the accusations, right? Talk about the fake news and fake narrative created by the news. Guys, this is what it's about. You know, Walter Cronkite, I got to tell you, people refer to it quite often. Walter Cronkite has got to be just rolling over in his grave up there, because there's no way he could be proud to have been a part of this industry. He almost created in America the voice of Walter Cronkite, the way he reported. Could you imagine if he had to pay attention to this kind of divide, this kind of like trash news reporting? I'm sure he would be really, really disappointed. I'm gonna take advantage of the next 15 minutes or so to talk about something. I didn't know how much time we would have. These articles were kind of, you know, they were quick speedballs through. And most of these articles that we went into today on the News Rocky Show were obviously some news that was created over the weekend, the tweets from President Donald Trump. Obviously, Hunter Biden, we talked about that. We talked about Joe Biden. We talked about Congress, the congressional leadership on the Democratic side, Nancy Pelosi and her team of misfits saying that they will consider not sitting, possibly 126 of the incoming congressmen and women on the Republican side who supported the Texas lawsuit. We covered all that. And you know what? There's some reality to all that. Yeah, those things were said. But it's the accusations on the opposite side that aren't being heard, right? It's the claims from the Republican. You know, listen, did the people sign the document and the Texas lawsuit? Possibly. And if they did, if they were congressmen and women and they signed, supported, however they did, it's their rights. It's their very rights, guys. But the problem is, in this country, our rights have been taken away. Our rights are being jeopardized each and every day. And you don't realize it. You don't realize it because you know what? You're sleeping. You're sheep. And what you're doing right now is you're allowing one side party conversations to take advantage. And by the way, when you get back down to Washington, D.C. after 2021 sits and we get this president, Joe Biden's going to get in office. He's going to be there. The noise of the election will still be going on. Donald Trump will not stop his campaign, as we said early on, until 2024. Listen, we're going to see the Republicans and Democrats get right back into the same cat shit filled sandbox, and they're going to roll around and stink like the shit of a politician each and every day. And you know why I say that? Because I've been there, and they all do it. And that's how politics gets done, until we get frustrated enough or push back. And that's why, guys, that's why Donald Trump stood out. That's why somebody like Bernie Sanders stands out. Because you know what? The pushback, the I'm not going to take this, I'm not going to tolerate it anymore. We need to get there, folks. Now, if we can't get there, if we're going to be divided, we're certainly heading down the path of something that resembles civil war. And so let's go on to something I want to touch on in the last few minutes. I want to really, fake news is the subject of the day in the news rocking. And when we watch these fake news stories materializing, it had me thinking, right? What is the biggest news fake news story I think that I can recall? And I'm going to tell you what it is. I don't know if we can pull up the Richard Jewell story, but if we can, Richard Jewell is a really interesting American story. This is about a security guard who is suspected of conspiracy in the Centennial Olympic Park bombing in 1996. Let's set the stage for our folks out there, right? 1996, Bill Clinton was in office. Let's see, 1996, the Olympics taking place. He happened to be born, and I didn't know this factoid, Richard Jewell was born on December 17th, 1962. I'm born on December 17th, 1969. So maybe that's why I got driven to this story. You know, later in the story, you'll know that this really tragic event that took place is a story about someone that's his life was flipped upside down. You know how it was flipped upside down, quite frankly, by the media. The media needed someone in this bombing that took place at the Atlanta Olympics. They needed to have that identity. They needed to create a story. And you know what? I'm going to get into this in a much more detailed way. I'm actually reached out to some folks who are centered around this investigation, the Richard Jewell investigation. There you go, right there. There's a photo. Thank you for getting them up. You know, this is, in my opinion, you know, as I prepare for the News Rocky show, and we want to bring you the best show out there. We want you to be a News Rocky member, as I say all the time. We want you to contribute to us and share your information, what you want to hear about. We want to know what you want to hear. But if we're talking about fake news, this is the biggest one, I think, of the biggest fake news stories that I can remember. It's because the first time you saw media really not reporting facts, but reporting stories, creating stories, much akin to what I talk about all the time, guys. When I talk about Wag the Dog with Dustin Hoffman and Robert De Niro, it's a great movie to refer to, 1998, Dustin Hoffman, Robert De Niro, and a great cast. Basically, a really political satire movie about a president or presidential election, where you actually have to create the news of the day. You got to create that fake narrative so you can take their eyes off the ball. Think about it, folks. In this country, in the history of this country, Richard Jewell, security guard, doing his job, was cooperative, was totally, just tried doing his job, never lied about anything. His life was ripped apart. And eventually he died. He died. And I we're going to get into the story. As I said, I'm reaching out to some people that were in and around the investigation, including trying to get to talk to a private investigator that worked directly with Richard Jewell's family. And we hopefully will get that on there. We want to tell the story because I believe this is really, when I think about the root of fake news in this country, this is one of the best examples of how the national corporate media can get away with it. And you know what? They get away with it because they can get up and say, we're reporting the news. We're reporting the news from a source. The source typically is the person who's the agitator, the person who wants to make a story out of something, right? This is what we see on a consistent basis. You tell me out there, Rob, Pat, anybody who wants to chime in, tell me what news station you trust. Go ahead, tell me, guys. If you're listening to News Rocky, I want to hear, what is the national corporate media that you trust? Do you now go to Newsmax? Do you go to any of these other sites that people are chasing around? I mean, Parler, I think Parler. Somebody told me to go on Parler or something. I don't even know what it is personally, but I do know this. I try to watch all the media I can. I try to read as much as I can and absorb the topics. But you know what? There's a distinct difference in our country because I can read an article on the Washington Times, maybe the New York Times. I can read an article in one of those, and I could then read one from a different, I guess the New York Post is probably most significant for a conservative. Let's get into the viewership, the actual video media, and let's talk about the difference between somebody like a CNN and Fox News. You can have the same topic and have such a diverse, you can have such a different opinion, you can have such a obviously position being taken. And quite honestly, I don't care if you're in the Fox line or the CNN line. I think the bottom line at the end of the day, why don't you just be in the same line? Just report the facts. Just the facts, right? Just the facts, man. I don't know. I can't remember what that was from. That was from some cop movie back in the day. But that's all we want as Americans. We just want the facts. And do you guys think maybe that the way that the corporate media has really moved into this position of really creating the conversations. Do you think possibly maybe their objective is to keep us divided for reasons and purposes? Think about it. If we're so focused on our Twitter accounts and our social media platform, fighting with each other about the topics, you know, I had a conversation last night going on because I posted a quote. I thought it was an inspirational quote. It was an honest, inspirational quote that I posted up on my Facebook page. And I had a difference of opinion. People were offended. People actually found a way to argue when I posted something that was positive. It's as simple as that. And this is people that want to fight the fight, not because it's probably something purposeful to really dig in on. This is the kind of craziness. We are being driven, guys, into this kind of madness. So what are we going to do? I guess what we're going to do is we're going to have to kind of find our way out of it, guys. And if we can't find our way out of it, we're going to find our way back in it. And Richard Jewell, as I said, recommend you guys go out and read a little bit about him. Check him out. The corporate media folks that are out there, I'm interested by, you know, obviously they are, you know, the corruption control. It's 50%. This is the madness, guys. Everything that we touch, view, see, feel, touch, smell, all those senses, it's all controlled by very big corporate media-driven products. Now, products could be anything from a claim from, I'm selling you, you know, this, a great pillow from the pillow guy there, my pillow. It could be any of these things. And we keep hearing it from media. Now, you're going to see that on Fox News. You're not going to see them on CNN. You're not going to see them on, well, I guess you could pay the fees to be on there, but I don't think you're going to see him on there. You don't get it, because if you don't understand, if you're going to sit here and tell me, oh, you know what, there's no, the only fake news I see is on CNN. If you're really a Fox News person and you tell me the only fake news I see is a CNN, then you're disingenuous. If you're a CNN person, you say the only fake news I see is on Fox, you're equally disingenuous. Guys, across the board, the narratives are created for us. They're not our narratives. They're not what we believe. It's not how we want to see something. We're being told each and every day by your phone, by all these devices. It's telling us, you got to feel this way. This is what it is. This is how it is. This is what happened. And by the way, they're lies and they're not, they're just disingenuous. Guys, it's not how it is. It's not how it's supposed to be. I think we need to start waking up, smelling the coffee here in this country and realizing the fake news media is just out there working on every street corner, waiting to report something to divide America again. That's what it comes down to. So I want to talk a little bit about setup for tomorrow's show. The rants today were compliments of the News Rocky show. Hope you enjoyed them. Part of the Helms Media Group here at the 80 Broadway at Pie Hops Studio, right above that great little restaurant downstairs, the Pie Hops restaurant, bringing a lot of attention to downtown Norwich. All lit up, by the way, just like the town halls lit up. Before we get done and move over to talking about setting up tomorrow's show, and what we'll be talking about tomorrow is going to be a recent protest that actually took place here in the city of Norwich with an individual who, the organizer, actually, Lori Hopkins Cavanaugh, who organized this protest up at the Dodd Stadium right here in the city of Norwich. News Rocky took his crew out there, and we actually did some live video and some reports from the field. Very interesting to hear the comments from the folks who were in attendance that day, but we're excited. Pretty confident that Lori Hopkins Cavanaugh will be in studio tomorrow or Zoom in, but either way, to have that conversation about why she formally put this event together, why she thought that it was a good concept to do on Saturday. Again, this protest took place right outside the gates of the Dodd Stadium. Dodd Stadium is a location of the COVID testing here in the city of Norwich. And we're really interested in finding out, you know, some of the details behind what that planned event was, what happened, the outcome, find out a little bit more details on what the position is that Lori Hopkins Cavanaugh takes in regards to the pushback against the COVID response. So we'll have that tomorrow. And in the last few minutes, and we'll have, guys, when you definitely tune in tomorrow, because we got some really great, like I said, interviews done. We had folks out there for a variety of reasons. You're going to hear about their reasons, and it's quite impactful, actually, when you get out in the field and start actually engaging with the people and finding out what they're doing. But this was an event we were happy to cover. You know, I want to just talk, and for the last few minutes here, I want to tell you a little bit about the results of our efforts last Friday. Right here in the city of Norwich, the Helms Media Group, got together with the Salvation Army, the City of Norwich, and all its officials, including the Norwich Police Department and the Back to Blue of Southeastern Connecticut. And I think we put this thing together in probably 2 weeks, about 3 weeks or so. Once we sat here in these seats, we realized we wanted to commit, and representatives on this team, such as Peter Helms, obviously owns the Helms Media Group and wanted to give back to the community. And we put together this really, really nice event. And I've got to tell you, I'm just overwhelmed. And I want to give a shout out to Ryan O'Connell, Officer Santiago from the Norwich Police Department. They came down and participated with us, Maria Knott and all the folks from the Salvation Army, this whole Helms Media team, Peter, Suki, Chris, Ray, Nate, whoever else, Paula, you were out there with us. All of us were out there doing our thing, really getting the donations dropped off. And this is really to feed people. This is all, the objective here was to feed families on Christmas. And we reached some amazing numbers. I'm actually not going to quote them because I know they came in, but we'll try to get them out to you. I just want to give a shout out. The City of Norwich, we're right here at this turnaround here, this turnabout, and the energy that was coming out of people's cars. I don't care if they pulled over and dropped a quarter in the drive-through donation area we had set up, or if they dropped off a lot more than that. They participated. It was amazing energy. So a big shout out to all the organizers that took place at that event. I think that we're going to probably have to up it to bigger numbers next year. But I know we did amazing. And you know what the best thing is, guys? We're actually going to help families who are hungry this Christmas. And that's amazing. So I'm going to recommend, if you're out there on News Rocky, I think we close out the donation link for that. But if you maybe we can find another way when we talk to Maria Knott on Friday with the Back to Blue episode we have here each and every week. Hopefully we'll be able to find out what's going on with the folks on the Salvation side and get the updates. I think it was a great event, guys. We actually had a lot of folks come out, and they were driven there, in a sense, by our platforms, our shows that were on all day long, our shows that have been on for weeks. We're actually able to get together and do that. You know, the City of Norwich, big shout out to the mayor. Peter Nystrom came down, and he came down and he donated not just food, but some cash as well. And we had people pulling in and dropping off 5 or 7, different cards, the gift cards for us. Food was being dropped off. Ryan O'Connell and his mom was amazing. Besides the money donations, she also went and filled her entire trunk up with food so we could have that to be a part of the donation. So again, I want to give a big shout out to those folks involved in that whole event, Peter Helms and the entire Helms Media Group. And I'm proud to be a part of it, and look forward to doing more for the City of Norwich and for our people in Connecticut. So as we tie this episode down, we'll try to sort of look at what the rest of the week obviously could be like. And I think we're really excited about just staying focused on what's going to happen over the next few days. I think that you look at this, obviously December 14th is more importantly, I remember today, not for the certification of the election results, although it's big news, it's definitely the anniversary of obviously Sandy Hook, and we talked about that in the opener. I want you guys today, if you sit down at your tables for dinner, home, if you're not home, if your children don't live with you anymore because they're grown up, if you have grandchildren, whatever you do, take a moment and just think about what it's like to be one of those families that doesn't have a chance to sit down with those babies that they loved and they cared for, and they just wanted to see those children grow. 8 years have been lost of those children's lives, along with the 6 school teachers and staff members. It's a tragedy, man. And there's no way of getting around it. We'll finish with thoughts that I just want to share. That I remember that day, and I challenge you to remember where you were that day. You know, often we talk about 9/11. Do you remember what you were doing? I want to say this, and not to bring any negative here. You know, I've done a lot of reading and research, not just listening and watching, and I'm not allowing the national corporate media to tell me how to feel. Alex Jones, I've been very harsh on him, and for purposes that I believe to be true. Alex Jones certainly came out and pushed back and said this was fake, this was a creative issue. He has since recanted his comments and since have come to realize, even through whatever process he needed to follow, but he's recanted those comments. And so I'm going to recant my anger towards Alex Jones here today, basically because the simple fact is there's a lot of media-driven conversations, and I think he got caught up in it. No one can debate this took place. And I'll tell you for fact, as we wind down to the last minute here, I looked in the eyes of the state troopers who went into that place and responded, and the eyes they gave me back when I talked to them, I'll never forget. I'm haunted for the rest of my life with those memories that I don't even have, just through the eyes of the Connecticut State Police. Guys, this is News Rocky. We're winding down here. I appreciate you tuning in today. We're going to be doing this 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. This is a new time slot, so stay tuned. Please do me a favor. Scroll down. Share this with your friends and your family. Let them know. I don't care where they are in the world. News Rocky. We're getting in the ring each and every day, taking on fake news. And we want you to engage, guys. Send us some messages. If you want to hear a topic, you want to get involved, send us a message and let us know what you want to hear, how you can help, and let's make this show grow. Hey, News Rocky coming to you live, baby, each and every day.